The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of GodQuest Ministries.
Turns out evolution is more problematic than it is probable. This is the Creation Today Show from the CTN studio in Pensacola, Florida. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Hovind, and I'm joined by Paul Taylor.
Yes, and on today's show, it's the second week that we've got Jay Seagate with us, and he's a creation speaker. He's the co-founder and principal lecturer for the Creation Education Center, and we're absolutely thrilled that he's here. If you saw last week's show, you'll know that we were talking about DNA and information and really getting to grips with understanding that.
It is incredible. Right when we're on the verge of switching the show to the Evolution Today Show, he comes along and destroys all that. Well, we're excited you're here with us. If you got questions, you can send them into questions@creationtoday.org. Enjoy the show. Are going to absolutely love today's show, I guarantee it.
I think that, well, yes, we're talking to Jay Seagate about DNA and information. But first, there's a few things we need to mention, aren't
we? We do need to make a couple announcements. We'll get these out of the way real quick. Go.
Well, have you visited the creationstore.org recently?
If the people at work are doing their job, you gotta go check it out. Creationstore.org, whole new site for you to enjoy a shopping experience online.
So it's very, very easy to spend your well-earned dollars there on some marvelous creation material.
Incredible creation material. And I would dare say it's some of the best around in Pensacola.
I would say it's the very best creation material that you will get on W Street, Pensacola.
That's right. No, we love it. We love producing stuff, resources that will bless you and help you educate others on the truth of creation and evolution. Not to mention, we got one more announcement, and we are thrilled about the Proof of God conference coming up in Orlando, Florida.
You just said not to mention that.
Oh, okay.
Go on, let's mention it.
Okay. The Proof of God Conference in Orlando, Florida. You got to check out proofconference.com, proofconference.com to get some more information about that. October 12th and 13th, a Friday and Saturday in Orlando. Great time of year to be down in Orlando. Trust me, been there during October many times. You'll absolutely love it.
There are going to be some amazing speakers at that conference.
There will be.
Don't forget, you can see Carl Kirby there from Reasons for Hope Ministries.
Mark Spence from Way of the Master.
And Saiten Bruggenkate from proofthatgodexists.com. O-R-G.
That's correct. And Paul Taylor is going to be there. That's going to make it worth it all by itself. Get your plane ticket and come on down and join us at the Proof of God Conference.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
It's going to be fun. We are going to have a good time. Well, we are really excited about the guests that we have all the way from Wisconsin. He is the president and founder of the Creation Education Center. The Center for Creation Education. I keep wanting to say the Center for Creation Education, but it's CEC, Creation Education Center. And Jay, thank you so much for being out here with us today.
It's an honor to be back again.
Wow. Well, I want you to just kind of give an overview of what we talked about last time. I know I am loving where you're going with this because you're talking about how complicated just what is in us, our DNA is. Can you give us kind of a brief review of last week in case some of the people didn't get to hear that?
Sure. I'd love to. We've known for a long time that DNA is unbelievably, you know, complex, yeah. But we're finding more and more layers of complexity that just makes the idea of evolution even more and more improbable. And just to kind of highlight where we left off last time, we looked at a segment of our DNA. Let's say we were looking at a little small segment and we were reading it. And let's say it actually said, "Was it a rat I saw?" Strange sentence, but let's clean this up a little bit, take the punctuation away, and we see, "Was it a rat I saw?" Now, we read that in English from left to right, but with this sentence, you can actually read it backwards. You can read it from right to left. "Was it a rat I saw?" So kind of a fun sentence. We talked about that this is a palindrome.
Yep.
Forwards and backwards, same information, forwards and backwards. Well, that's what we've discovered with our DNA, that it can be read forwards and backwards. But it's more complex than this because it's not just the same piece of information forwards and backwards. It's a separate set of instructions when you read it backwards. The analogy we had was the word desserts. You read it forwards, it's desserts. When you read it backwards, it spells stressed, which is what I get when I don't have desserts. So Now, we take this original piece of information here and we introduce a random mutation. We mentioned that last time too. So we just randomly delete one of the letters in desserts. It destroys that original message. It doesn't spell desserts anymore, but it also destroys our second message of stressed. So these random changes, they're not only affecting the message going one way, but they're affecting information, which is what you read when you're reading it backwards. So they're even less likely to bring positive changes for evolution. The second thing we mentioned was that we're not talking about just little words or a couple words together in our DNA. We're talking about entire chapters that work forwards and backwards. It's just immeasurably complex. And then the other thing we talked about is overlapping instructions. Got a weird sentence here, I like choco later that evening. The reason it's weird is we have two phrases here that overlap. We've got I like chocolate, which is true, and then we've got later that evening, and they overlap here in the middle in these four letters. So if we introduce another random change here, we make a substitution this time. We change the E into an H. It no longer spells I like chocolate, and it also doesn't spell later that evening. So a random change here is actually destroying two messages.
Wow, so a third level of complexity that just one little mutation is going to destroy right now up to three levels of complexity of the information.
Sure. And in reality, in the DNA, we're not talking about a short little phrase that overlaps. We're talking about actually, again, entire chapters of overlapping information. It just boggles the mind to think of the complexity there in the DNA.
We've got to remember this is just a simplified analogy of what DNA actually is, isn't it? And in fact, you know, you'd have both together. You'd have things forwards, backwards, and overlapping, and all the complexity that that involves. And last week, you mentioned a very, very important analogy. I wonder if you could just briefly repeat. What happens in this analogy was somebody at a smartphone company, technical author, is being asked to write something manual.
That's a great analogy. It helps the audience to understand what we're really talking about here. It makes it more real. Again, the analogy was, let's say you worked in a smartphone factory, and your job is to write part of the instruction manual to give to the manufacturing plant to make these phones. And so your boss comes to you one day and says, I've got a project for you. I want you to write the chapter in this manual that explains how these phones are going to download apps from the web. And you say, no problem, that's what I do. So your boss is walking away. He comes back and he says, well, wait a minute, I forgot one thing. When you write your chapter on how to download apps, you have to write it in such a way that when you read it backwards, it explains how this phone is going to play MP3s in videos.
Wow.
And you'd be looking at him thinking, I mean, you're kidding, right?
This is impossible.
He's like, no, I'm serious. This is what we have to do. We only have so much room to work with. We've got to get a lot of information crammed in there. Well, that's humanly impossible. Not only is it humanly impossible, you can't even program a computer to write an entire chapter of separate sets of instructions. But that's what we're seeing in the DNA. You read it one way, an entire chapter, a set of instructions to make all these proteins, and you read it backwards, a totally separate set of proteins to do something completely different.
Incredibly complex.
And to think when I was young, people used to be worried about backward masking on Beatles LPs.
That's right. Let's go backwards and listen to
I'm just revealing my age there, folks.
Wow. Okay, so this is pretty complex. Now, you go into this and a lot more, and I'm hoping you can cover some more, but on the new DVD, Evolution Probable or Problematic.
Sure. We go in more and more details and more levels, and you want to go into the next level and start that?
I do want to go into that. Man, okay, hit it real quick. We just got
real
one
quick
minute before we need to take a break.
We'll finish it after the break. We talk about splicing, where you can take a look at the same sentence, and you can splice small sections out, and you can actually put them together to make another set of instructions. I like her hat. And we can pick up on the rest of this after the break.
So you can literally say, okay, instead of just taking all the information, let's take this section, this section, this section, put it together, and it is its own information. It's not jumbled up. It's literally its own information there.
Separate set of instructions again.
Out of the DNA.
And what we're emphasizing for you all out there is that these are the sort of things that happen on much bigger scales, really, in the information that's within DNA.
I'm seeing a fourth level of complexity already in one DNA code, now four levels of complexity deep, and I'm wondering how deep in this rabbit hole we're going to go. We'll find out with Jay Siegert, our special guest from the Creation Education Center in Wisconsin, right after this.
Join Eric Hoven and Paul Tater from Creation Today with special guest Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, along with Carl Kirby of Reasons for Hope, Mark Spence of Living Waters, and Cy-Ten Brugenkate of Proof That God Exists for the Proof of God Conference in Orlando, Florida, October 12th through 13th. For more information, visit us online at proofconference.com or call toll-free 877-479-3466.
The Creation Today Show would like to thank Category 5 TV for being so generous in airing our program. It's donations from people just like you that allow Category 5 to keep the data streaming to your computer, TV, or tablet. If you haven't had a chance this week, pop on over to patreon.com/category5 and take them out to eat, so to speak. It would mean the world to them, and you get the blessing of giving in return.
Welcome back. You're watching the Creation Today Show with me, Paul Taylor, and with Eric Hovind. And in the studio today, we've got our very special guest, Jay Seegers. And Jay, we've been talking about DNA and information and seeing the amazing complexity of it. We've talked about the messaging that's in DNA going forwards and backwards, and how a mutation in there would affect the message forwards and backwards. And just before the break, you showed us this splicing effect. Can you just mention again what this splicing effect is showing us here?
Sure. What we call is alternate splicing, where you take an original message and you just take segments out and you can kind of bring them down below, so to speak, and have an additional message. So in our original message here, we took out a few segments and are spelling out, "I like her hat." And the issue here is, if we're making these random mutations, which is what evolution is all about, are those mutations going to improve things or not? Well, in this example here, if we introduce another random mutation, let's say we delete this letter H here, we're not only messing up the original message, but we're also messing up this spliced message. And what we're seeing in reality, in the real DNA, is we're not just taking a segment and taking a few short segments out right there. We're taking segments out from totally different chapters or different genes here, putting them together to build a whole other set of instructions to build other proteins. And we're not taking out just a few letters. We're actually taking out long sentences and short paragraphs. So again, humanly speaking, you try to write something so that you can take out sentences, paragraphs, put them with another section of the book, and have a whole other chapter there put together. It's just humanly impossible, but that's what we see in our DNA.
And this is what we've been asked to believe, that these sort of things, slight omissions, slight additions, whatever, are what give us the information that's required. And what we're seeing here is how it just completely messes things up.
It's going to be going downhill and not uphill.
Well, I mean, this has been very complex. There's been a huge amount here, Jay. That must be the end of the matter, surely.
Well, we'd have a short show if we did, but there's more. It gets even worse. The challenge for evolution gets even worse. We have something called embedded information. So here's kind of a strange sentence. Can you show Mike Olson checks from Oliver's labeled fax and set it on Herb's desk? Okay. Kind of an odd sentence
here. Sort of makes sense.
Yeah. But let's circle every ninth letter. So we circle every ninth letter, and if we bring those down below, it actually spells out chocolate. Kind of a theme going here.
You've got a fixation on this.
Yes, somewhat. A little problem with that.
Are you seeing counseling on this?
Yes, my wife is trying to help me with that. So we've got a message here. So again, let's introduce a random mutation to our initial message here. Let's say delete the letter W. We get rid of that. Well, that's going to shift all the letters over. So now the ninth letter in each one of these is going to be different. We bring that down below, it doesn't make sense anymore. So we're not only messing up the original message, we are messing up our alternate or our embedded message below. So that's just another challenge.
That's just amazing to me to think that they think, hey, if we just introduce mutations on the surface level, you're right. Oh, just these small changes over a long period of time. But when you start seeing one mutation affects this, which affects this, which affects this, you know, taking it down. I mean, we're on like our fifth or sixth level of complexity here. It affects it all.
It does. And again, where it seems plausible to begin with is you can write out a sentence and make a random change. And once in a great while, it might seem to make this sentence better. You change a number, you put an S on the end of something, it gives you a plural, it gives you more of it.
Right.
You think, I could see how that would improve things. But in reality, in the DNA, even if once in a great while a random change might temporarily improve a small segment, because of the domino effect, it's making so many bad changes in many other areas.
You know, the popular science programs and articles in magazines, newspapers, and so on just don't get to this level. It simply says, well, mutations do it, the time that you've got does it, there it is.
So amazing, yeah. This whole
business. Surely it doesn't get more complex than this.
No, this
wouldn't that be easy? No, we're going to go another step.
Another step.
Wow.
We're going to look at encrypted messages. And I actually had two interviews with the CIA a number of years ago to work in their cryptographic analysis division. It was kind
of
interesting.
Tell us that.
Story for another time. But we're going
to
look at data encryption here.
Absolutely.
Sure. So we'll look at this phrase here. It doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. But if we had an encryption code that might make a difference. In fact, everywhere there's an H, let's say it's really an A, and everywhere there's a B, it's really a C, and so on. For example, everywhere we see a Y, let's say that's really supposed to be a T. So if we make all these substitutions here, it changes it to, this is an encrypted message.
Right.
And this is what we're seeing in the DNA. There's encryption codes where you change what you're actually seeing. What you're seeing actually makes sense. It's a message, a set of instructions to do something, but then when you introduce an encryption key on there, it actually creates an additional message here. And that's what we're seeing.
So you're saying we can read the DNA as it is forward. It has a different set of instructions backwards. We're down to like, it overlaps. There are entire chapters that overlap. You can take pieces and bring them down, and it's a totally new message. And what we can read is also encrypted to do something else as well.
Yes, much of it is encrypted. And if we take just a little moment here to look at an encryption system, what would be required to create an encrypted system? Just again, these are random processes, supposedly, that are going on that creates all this. So, well, the first thing you'd need is to develop a language system using symbols to begin with. So let's say we had three sticks here. We say when we arrange them this way, we're going to say that's an A. And then when we have these symbols here, when we put them together this way, that's going to be a B. We need to develop an entire alphabet, again, just by random processes. Second thing we would need is to define words. Okay, when we put these four letters together, this is going to represent this object here. We have to create an entire dictionary of words through random processes. Third thing we need to do is to be able to write meaningful sentences and paragraphs. The only way we can do that is if we have rules of grammar. So that, again, has to be generated.
I wish that wouldn't have evolved. I'm too good at the rules of grammar.
Random processes. Again, all at the right time and the right place to be able to work together. Then we've got, fourthly, to establish the actual encryption system. That's got to come into play somewhere. And fifthly, we're going to have to create a system to be able to code and decode this encryption system. And then sixthly and finally, we have to develop the ability to read and carry out these instructions. If you can't do that, the whole system is useless.
And the whole thing's got to happen by just random chance. And it's a piece of cake, really,
yes,
isn't it?
No, they say no intelligence. So in our human experience, we see this. We understand how this works, but we know there's a lot of intelligence behind that. But then when it comes to biology, they say, no, that can just happen all on its own with no intelligence involved.
Give enough magic time and it will happen long enough.
Does it not blow your mind that biologists that understand and study this can still say, yep, evolution happened?
Well, it's interesting because most biologists aren't even aware of these things. Most scientists certainly aren't. They're not even studying evolution. They're making rocket fuel, fast computers. They're curing diseases. They're doing great things, but they don't know much about evolution. They just assume that there are PhD scientists out there who have studied it and proven it, and it's good enough for them. So they have faith in those other scientists. Yeah. And even many of the scientists who are studying evolution haven't gotten to this level and are not that aware of these details.
Is it just that they're so focused on their field that they really, somebody else has got that, I'm dealing with oil or plastic or whatever it is.
Sure, and it's not necessarily their fault. You know, we can't know everything. So most scientists are very focused and they know a lot about one area, but they don't really know the big picture.
Man, because I look at this and I go, come on, who in their right mind? Well, and I guess ultimately that's the problem. The Bible says they're not in their right mind yet. They need to repent before they can see the truth.
It's a spiritual issue.
It really comes down to a spiritual battle. Wow. Okay. Does it go any deeper?
It'll get deeper.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Right after this break, we'll go a little bit deeper with Jay Seegert. Again, I want you to check out his website. He's got some great DVDs on the subject and a brand new DVD coming out called Evolution, Probable or Problematic. And we're saying it's problematic.
Yes.
Back after this. We'll be right back. I told you it was going to be a good show. I guarantee you. Oh my goodness, Jay, I'm really enjoying talking about this information. It ends up, DNA is incredibly complex.
It's fascinating.
Evolution is problematic when it comes to DNA, when you look at that.
Definitely.
Wow. Are you liking this as much as I am?
I'm absolutely blown away, because the simple premise that the evolutionists give is, you know, you've got mutations, that's where the information comes from, random mutations and so on, and given enough time, that sort of thing happens. And we've spent a whole show actually looking under the hood, as you put it, and seeing what the detail is. And when you do that, you see this just does not work. It just does not make sense. And you'd got to the stage where we'd talked about encrypted messages that you get in the DNA and shown that with a simple key and all the various stages you need to produce that. And probably it would be fair to say that even the encrypted key was a simplified version of what you showed.
Yes.
So the actual version would be more complex than the Enigma machine. But at least that must be the end of the complexity, mustn't it? There can't be anything more than that, Jake.
Well, we've got a few more here.
Oh, no, wow.
The next segment we will take a look at here has to do with 3D information. So we're talking about a 3D level set of information here, and this is a little bit harder to depict, but when we look at DNA, DNA produces proteins, and proteins are the engine of our bodies to do the different functions that we need to do. And proteins aren't just a straight ladder like we see with DNA. They get folded up in order to have their proper function. If they don't fold just the right way, they're going to be useless or not carry out their intended function. So if we have an analogy here, we've got, let's say, seven words going straight across the screen, like, let's say, a ladder. Again, we need to fold these, in a sense, to give it some functionality. So if we take these words here and stack them on top of each other, we see when you stack them the right way, in a sense, fold them the right way, you get a 3D, three-dimensional set of information. You get another word here in our example, the word success. So if you introduce a random mutation here, you delete some letters, you substitute, you fold it the wrong way, you're not going to see this third level of information here. Another barrier or challenge to the idea of random mutations helping and being beneficial to evolution.
Oh my goodness. So we got a mutation doesn't just affect a word. The word is forward and backwards with different meanings. You've got it overlapping. You've got it sections taking out. You've got, what was that last one?
You got embedded information.
Embedded, and then encrypted. And now stacked 3D.
And plussed up, just as all your other examples, of course, you've done a word there to simplify. But again, we're talking chapters, really.
When the proteins fold, it's much more information than just a single word. But it's hard to depict that visually, so we're keeping it simple.
Is it that, hey, it's not just the word success, but the next row to it would be something, I mean, you would be able to read, you know, consistently.
Pretty much everything has to be functional, because it has to fit like a lock and key. It's got to fit just the right way, or the proteins are useless. And the cell will actually go and find those improperly folded proteins and destroy them and recycle their components and use them again.
But given enough time,
isn't evolution wonderful?
It is.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Amazing. Actually, serious point. This just make you stand in awe of God.
Exactly.
What he has done. Yeah, absolutely incredible.
The fingerprint of God here, and I think it probably goes a lot deeper. We actually do have one more level that we'll cover on the show today.
More information.
It goes a little bit further. We've actually got cell wall a nucleus interaction. You know, most of us, we picture the cell here and in the nucleus where we have the strands of DNA, and we think, well, that's where all the information is hidden on the strands of DNA. And there certainly is a lot of information on the DNA. We've talked about that a little bit here. But there's actually information in other parts of the cell. We've got information in the cell wall, and what we've determined is there's actually communication going on between the cell wall and the DNA in the nucleus. So if you picture it this way, you make random changes to the DNA in the nucleus, the cell wall is not going to know about it. The nucleus would have to tell the cell wall, hey, by the way, we've changed some things in here, so when you talk to us,
so you know,
keep that in mind. Otherwise, it messes up the communication. So there's this whole other level of complexity going on between the cell wall and the nucleus. And how would that get coordinated? There'd have to be intelligence in there to tell it about these changes, but evolution can't allow intelligence.
Unbelievable.
It's just absolutely staggering, mind-blowing.
It is.
I mean, to me, how many times have we as creation speakers heard, man, if God would just make himself more obvious? I mean, you're talking about a God that can communicate on multiple levels. He can communicate 3D, stacked, forward, backward. I mean, He's communicated to us very clearly the truth of who he is. We truly are without excuse.
Well, I was just thinking of the same passage of Scripture. The invisible attributes of God are clearly seen.
Sure.
And the things that are made.
Sure. And even with all that, though, people will say, yeah, but we've got proof of evolution. Even with all that complexity, and here's what they'll typically say, is that we are 98% similar in our DNA to chimpanzees. And most of the audience has probably heard something like that at some point in time. PBS had a special where they said that this amounts to just a couple of spelling errors. What in the world does that mean? That means you take the incredibly complex chimp genome, all the information in a chimp, and you just introduce some random spelling errors, a few of them, and voila, you've got a human being. Well, first of all, we're not anywhere close to 98% similar in our DNA, even though we've heard that. It's much, much less. But let's just say we were. Let's just humor him for a second and say that we were actually 98% similar. Well, for 98% similar in our DNA, that means we're 2% different.
Right.
Well, the human genome has about 3 billion letters in the genome, so a 2% difference of that amounts to 60 million differences, or 60 million spelling errors. So these 60 million spelling errors is supposed to produce, let's say, 50 new 200-page books of brand new information to transform a chimpanzee into a human being by introducing random changes. It's not going to happen.
It's not. And of course, you've got to take into account all the folded messages, spliced messages, backwards and forwards messages, and all the other things that we've been talking about today.
3D, encrypted.
Sure. It's going downhill fast, not
absolutely.
And you talk about all this in your new DVD, Evolution, Probable or Problematic.
Yes, we'll cover that and much more.
And where can people find this?
They can find it on our website at cecwisc.com.
CECWISC.com. And is your speaking schedule up there? I mean, because I know you do quite a bit of speaking on the subject, and people can book you to come speak at your church and present this information and things like that, correct?
Sure. The calendar's on the website, and we don't charge for our engagements. We just accept free will offerings or honorariums or whatever the church, school, camp, or conferences deems appropriate.
Wow. That is, I'm telling you, this has been fascinating. I've really enjoyed having you down and just learning this from you. I mean, 26 years of experience, and we get to hear some of the best stuff right now. Tell us about some of the other stuff you have. I mean, I know your book, Let There Be Light, is a great overview, isn't it, of creation versus evolution?
Lots of information there. Came out just about a year ago, so it's still pretty fresh. Tons of information, very easy to read, easy to understand. And then the DVD series.
You got more DVDs.
Set of 12 half-hour sessions with a free study guide. It goes through the whole creation-evolution controversy. Lots of PowerPoint, very dynamic, easy to understand.
Love this.
Absolutely amazing.
Man, well, guys, this has been a blessing having Jay here and Paul. I love these shows.
Don't forget, if you want to ask us questions, then you can do that, facebook.com/creationtoday. Or you can catch us on Twitter, @creationtoday.
That's right. This has been a production of GodQuest Ministries. Creation Today is part of GodQuest Ministries, and we really are glad you joined us. If you'd like Paul or I or Jay to come speak, let us know. Man, I love these shows.
Absolutely incredible. And to God be all the glory for everything He's done.
Do you need the tools to defend your faith? Visit our websites for up-to-date content, attend one of our live events, and shop online at creationstore.org. We are Creation Today.